Over to the book of Mark, chapter 5. Mark, chapter 5. Read about a feller that most of us knows. We've preached on him before. And I want to preach having a thought on a dead, a living, and a dying man. And as I preach, hopefully that will begin to make sense to you. In Mark, chapter 5, let's stand to our feet if we would one more time. And we'll reverence the reading of God's word. We're going to read about a man by the name of Legion. He was full of devils. And I'll just give you what God has given me. It is a joy to always get to stand, amen, and get to preach what God has gave us. You pray for the preacher. And they came over under the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. That's a lot of dead pigs, ain't it? And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see that which was done. I bet that was a sight, wasn't it? I mean, all them pigs got to running down that hill and then ended up in the sea over. I mean, it just wasn't 100 pigs or 200 pigs. We're talking about a couple thousand pigs. I mean, I bet that was a racket and a mess, wasn't it? And boy, I'm telling you, yeah, the swine flu. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Let me stop right here for just a second. They were not really afraid of him till he met Jesus. As I'm going to deal with here in a minute, they tried to tame him and bind him and fetter him down. So somebody had to go do that. But it is when he met Jesus that the people got afraid of him. And they that saw it, verse 16, told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil, thank God for that, prayed him that he might be with him. And howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. And you can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, and that for another opportunity to stand and preach. And it is preaching time. And Lord, if you don't come by, this thing's going to fall flat. But if you'll come by and speak to hearts and touch our heart and speak to us this morning, Lord, I know that what needs to be accomplished will be accomplished. Amen. Lord, that if there's somebody here lost, that they'd get saved, somebody that just needs help, that they'd find help. And Lord, let me say everything that needs to be said, but nothing more, nothing less. Lord, we want you to be honored in this preaching today. And we'll tell you again, Lord, that we love you. Touch us and anoint us afresh. Give us some help from heaven. And Lord, we'll give you the glory for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I look in this passage, let me say this. Pray for you, preacher. All these allergies in my throat is, I've been giving me some problems here lately, so you make sure to pray for the preacher. As in this passage, when we look at Legion, I'll call him Legion for now, you find that he was possessed of many devils, and he finds his head up and that in the Lord. Now, I think most of us has probably heard this old saying right here, that a poor man, you ever heard this, that a poor man has poor ways? As a matter of fact, I've had to live by some of that over the years. I've had some poor ways of doing things because we were poor people at times, and you just got poor ways of doing things, and that's just how it is. But you know, as I read this scripture and I thought about this passage of scripture this past week, I thought about how that a dying man has dying ways. But a living man has living ways. As we look at this man, whether he understood it, I think we look at it and we know it today and understand that he was dying. As a matter of fact, when Jesus cast those devils into them pigs over there, what was the first thing they done? Well, they ran down the steep place and they drowned in the sea. And I mean, if he could have, he would have destroyed Legion just as sure as the world. Now, why he didn't, I don't know. And I, sometimes as I read this passage of Scripture, and I know I can't prove it, and that's all, but I always wondered if Legion, when he was over there in the Gadarenes and in the tombs and all those, if he just had a moment of lucidity when he could think straight for just a minute, that he would say to himself, there's got to be something better than this. There's got to be something better than what's going on in my life. You know, I'm telling you, lost people every now and again, I think they get some lucidity about them and they think and they say there's got to be something better than this. They just don't know what to do about it. And I'm not sure that he knew in that what to do about it, but he knew that when Jesus came by, he knew he could help him. So let me say this morning quickly that if you're lost without Christ, you're dying in your sin. Do you realize that you're already dead in your sin? I mean, what was it the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2? And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Notice he dealt with our flesh in verse 3, and friend, it was us that was dead in trespasses in sin. So if you're lost, you're dead now. You're dead while you're living. Ain't that amazing? As we look at some of this, I don't understand some of this. I mean, I understand it, but you're living, you're sitting here breathing, you're looking at me, you can see me, your heart is beating, but yet you're dead while you're living. But yet, when you get saved, you go down just a few more verses. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. That means to be made alive. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm alive now. I mean, I'm in heaven now. Christ is in heaven. I'm in Christ. So that puts me in heaven now. I'll be in heaven now. I'll be in heaven later. Amen. My name is written in heaven. Listen, as Christ got up, and I'm in Christ, and I'm alive now. Ain't that a wonderful thought today? But even in my living, I am to be dying. Ain't that some? Now do you catch on what I'm preaching on? A dead man that needs to be alive, but a living man that needs to be dying. Are we not supposed to be dying to this world? And I'm going to get there today. But we go back to Mark chapter 5. And we look at this passage of Scripture. And we see that he may not have realized it, but he was dying. You go to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. And you'll find that the devil had the power of death. Still has the power of death. If you remember, I mean, and I know that Christ conquered the devil. I understand that. I know that. And I understand some things. Some things took place at Calvary and at the resurrected tomb. But you remember what the Lord told Satan over there when he was dealing with Job? You remember what he said? He said, you can touch him, but just don't take his life. And so we find right here that, notice one of the very first things that it tells us about this man, after he immediately, and I like that scripture in verse 2, that when Jesus came out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now notice where he dwelled at. He had his dwelling among the tombs. You remember what I said a few minutes ago, that a poor man's got poor ways and that a dying man's got dying ways? Now notice where he lived at. He lived in the tombs. You know, dying people, lost people like to be around lost people. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, they don't want to get around. I mean, that's why they don't come to church. You know, as my pastor used to say, that's why a criminal don't look for a policeman, you know. Very, very few times do you have, I remember one Sunday night, I mean, it does happen. I had a little girl that come in here, and I don't know if God had been dealing with her. Something had been dealing with her, amen. I mean, I was preaching, and she was crying, and I wasn't smart enough, Brother Hayes, to put it together. She was under conviction. I didn't realize, I know she's had a bad day. Her kids just drove her batty, but the longer I preached, the more she cried, and when I gave the invitation, she come and got saved. I was getting to harvest in somebody else's field. I didn't have much to do with that, you know. But you know what? God had spoke to her heart, and she needed some help. Amen. But that's not the rule. That's the exception to the rule. You know why I'm determined folk hardly get saved at church? We just don't get them in anymore, do we? When's the last time you called and invited? I have to ask myself that question quite a bit. When's the last time I handed out an invitation, invited folk to church? I talked to them about the Lord. But notice where he dwelled at. He dwelled in that among the tombs. That's where dead people live. You want to live in a cemetery? I don't live in no cemetery. I remember when growing up, the church that I went to, the church had a parsonage, and the pastor always lived in the parsonage, and on the other side of the parking lot was the church's cemetery, and I always thought as a kid, man, I wouldn't want to live in that house right there. I come to find out dead people can't hurt you. It's the living you got to deal with, amen? Now, dead people almost make you hurt yourself sometimes, but they can't hurt you. It's the living people that you got to worry about, amen? But listen, he dwelled among the tombs, and that's where he lived at. That's why sinners like to be around sinners. You know, birds of a feather flock together, you know. And so, you know, I'm determined that's why some people don't like church. After I got saved, Brother Marvin, I began to like church a whole lot better. As one fellow said the other day, I was on the drug program going to church. They drug us everywhere we went, you know, when we was kids. And at 14 years old, something changed in my heart when I got saved. I mean, something happened to me that I've never forgot, that it made a difference in my life. I didn't live it perfect. I messed it up from time to time. But listen, something happened to me that never happened before. And I'm telling you, when you get saved, something happens to you that has never happened before. Amen. He makes a difference in your life. And so he's dwelling out in the tombs. And so it says that in verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs, that no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he'd often been bound with fetters and with chains. And boy, is that not what the world wants to do? They want to take people and in their help, so their so-called help, they end up binding them down instead of making them free. Did you catch that right there? Notice it said that they wanted to bind him. He had often been bound with fetters and with chains. You know, the best that the world can do for anybody is reform them, ain't it? Only Jesus can regenerate a sinner. Only Jesus can change a man, a woman, boy, or girl. Listen, only He can do that. And so, I mean, think about this for a minute. The world had a way right here that was trying to fix him, but the world's way couldn't fix him because he was dying. He was full of the devil. I mean, what is it? Proverbs 14 and 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The world's way will get you killed. This man had no peace and had no rest. Notice in verse 5, notice that word. Look right there. And always. Got that underlined in my Bible. Always. You know what that means, always? Always. Night and day. He was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. He never had no peace or rest. I told you this story sometime back, but I'll tell it to you again for you that didn't hear it. There was a young lady, this has been a couple of years ago. I was out there at the house, and I could see a car looking through the trees there down there on the road, and I could see that they were on the side of the road, and young lady comes up out of the house, her car had broke down, there was two others, now maybe some kids down there in the car, and so she was needing a ride somewhere or needing some help, and we were told while I was standing there talking, the Lord began to speak to my heart to talk to her about Him. And so somehow it come around that I'm a Baptist preacher. And one thing that I've always told you, that when folk find out that I'm a preacher, there's a couple of things happen. They either want to get away from you as fast as they can, or they begin to tell you everything that's going on in their life. It's never in between most of the time. And this poor little girl, as she began to talk to me and talk about the life that she was living, and she rolled up her sleeves, and I remember, and she showed me where she had cut herself. Now, it was no accident that her car broke down where it broke down at. And it was no accident that she was standing up here in the middle of my driveway and me getting to talk to her about the Lord. And how people generally do is they promise you, now I'll be there come Sunday, but she never come. But I hope that what little bit I got to talk to her, it helped her. But lost people, dead people, they don't act like living people. Notice it said that he just, as he dwelled in the tombs and he was bound in the tombs, he was cutting himself. Why would you do that? I mean, why maim and harm yourself? And I know people's mind. I understand that. I understand a little bit about depression and so on and so forth and things of that matter. But listen, this stuff really just don't make sense. Except he didn't know Jesus. He's got no peace. He's got no happiness. He's crying night and day. And the Bible, if you look over in Luke chapter 9, tells us that the Bible said that he wear no clothes. He's running around naked. That says a lot about today's generation, don't it? Amen. Now, preacher, you're supposed to preach on that in December and preach on Santa Claus in July. I got a friend that does that. He'll preach against Santa Claus in July and preach on dressing right in the middle of December, you know. That's the best time to do it. Amen. But the world, he said they wear no clothes. If you go back and you look just a few verses past that in Luke chapter 29, it went on to tell us that the devil would drive him into the wilderness. So his whole demeanor and his whole drive, and that was of Satan. You know, was it in the book of 2 Timothy that tells us that they're taken captive by him at his will? Now, I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He cannot take captive of me. I can yield, according to Romans 6, whoever I yield to, that's what I'm going to do. But he cannot hold me captive anymore. I got saved from that. But the devil would drive him, according to Luke 9 and 29, drive him into the wilderness. And his life, I read this and I think about this man. And by the way, when we read the latter part of the scripture, Jesus said, go home to thy friends. You know, this man had a home. He had a home. And no doubt he probably had family, and we know he had friends. Because Jesus said, go home to thy friends. You know, Satan, he ruins a lot of homes, don't he? He's drove him into the wilderness. I mean, he's dwelling among the tombs, and he'll go to the wilderness, and he goes out there by himself in a lonely place. The wilderness is a lonely place. Was not Jesus led by the Spirit in Matthew chapter 4 out in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? Seems like that the devil works good in the wilderness, don't he? You know, where was it that the children of Israel come up out of Exodus 16 or Exodus 17? They were in the wilderness of what? The wilderness of sin. Is that not what it says? They come out of the wilderness of sin. So I look at this man and to be honest with you, I feel sorry for him. I do. Every time I read this passage of Scripture, because here's the thing, if something don't happen to him and in the life that he's living, if Jesus had never come by, he was going to die in that condition. You want to know what makes the world like they are today? You want to know what makes these generations that we have out here today like they are? They're lost. They're lost. They don't know Jesus. They've never come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some preacher may have baptized them. They may have some kind of form of religion, but they've never known Christ as their Savior. And see, that's what makes all the difference in the world. This man is dying, whether he realized it or not, whether the world out there realizes it or not, they're dying. I was dying. I was dead. I was already dead in my sin. By the way, you are dying too. Hebrews 9 and 27, what is it? As appointed unto men wants to die, and after this judgment, we're all leaving out of here. We're all leaving. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine. He works for funeral home up in Loudoun County. And he says, we're just covered up. I said, well, there's one thing about it. You work for the funeral home, you're always going to have plenty of work. People die. We're all dying. But when you were lost, and if you are lost, you're dead now, needing to become alive. But notice who he came to. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in verse 2 that when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. So you find a dying man in him right here. But then when he meets Jesus, it changes him into a living man. He's a regenerated man. And I'm just using him as an example of a lost man to a saved man. I mean, we can agree with that, can't we? I mean, one of the greatest types right here of a lost man getting saved is right here. I mean, he came to Jesus. I mean, he automatically, I mean, the Bible said immediately. And I always wondered, you know, was it Gary Duty that wrote that song about, you know, that ship that was out on the sea and he come over to the Gadarenes? I always wondered how much truth there was in that song that he was standing over there on the seashore and watched that ship out there in the middle of that sea. In Matthew chapter 4. And seeing what Jesus done on that ship. And boy, when he seen what Jesus done on that ship, he said, I got to meet this feller. But see, it was more than meeting him, because you know, when he come over there, notice what he said about Jesus. He said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? He knew who he was. That devil on the inside of him knew exactly who he was. Again, you know why people don't like to come to church? They're liable to get around Jesus if they come to church. You know why lost people don't want to run around with you if you're saved and you live for Christ? Because they don't want to be around Him. They're going to have to change the way they do some things. They're going to have to act different. They might have to get saved themselves. But he came to Jesus. He knew who he was. Now, if you look at the latter part, he said, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. If you go to Matthew chapter 8, you'll read the same story. And he says over there that thou torment me not before my time. So even they know that they've got a time that torment's coming. Them devils know that there's a time that they're going to face what's been set off in the book of the Revelation over there. They understand that and know that. But this man meets Jesus, and in verse 8, the unclean spirit comes out of him. And so we find that after they go down into that swine, and like I said while I was reading this, I bet that was a sight. I want you to understand something, that it says right here that, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, not still was, but was, that's in the past tense, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Now notice here that when he met Christ, when he come to Christ, that this was a lost man that become a saved man. Why? There's a change that took place. You know, when you got saved, there should have been a change that took place. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. You should have been made different in Christ. There's a lot of things that I did. All I wanted to do was get saved that night. I think about that quite often. The older I get, I let that play over in my mind. And all I wanted to do was get saved. I didn't know everything I was getting. I didn't realize what was going to be handed to me. I didn't realize everything I had in Christ that was coming. I just knowed I was lost and I needed to get saved. That's all I realized. I'm glad that's all you have to realize. Legion realized that there was something wrong and only Christ could fix it. He says, is it really that simple? It's really that simple. Salvation is a simple thing, friend. Paul talks about the simplicity that is in Christ. But notice how he changed when he come to Christ. Notice that he is sitting and he's clothed and he's in his right mind. He is now no longer in the tombs running around. And I like how the Bible tells us this, that he's clothed, he put on some clothes. You know, saved people ought to get covered up, man. I mean, the world's out there running around naked, not saved people. You ought to get clothed, put some clothes on, amen. I'm telling the truth, ain't I? All right. You know what was it? In having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. The two things people don't like to be told what to do, what to wear and what to eat. Amen. And I don't even like to be told what to eat. My wife said one day, I forget where we've been down to meeting one time, and she says, I see your problem now. She said, you just like to eat good stuff, don't you? I said, that's right. I like to eat something good. Well, notice that when he come to Christ, that he was not only sitting and clothed in his right mind, and that implies he was not in his right mind prior to Christ. He was driven by the devil out into the wilderness. The devil had robbed his peace from him. And he was doing the best that he knew how. You know, we criticize lost people a lot of times for what they do, but they're doing the best that they know how with what they've got. And we've got the truth. Shouldn't we take it to them? I mean, they're out there, the ones that are dying and it needs to live, and we're the one that's got the living word. Why won't we take it to them? But he met a man that changed him. You know, John 14 and 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Here comes Legion running out of the tombs, and no doubt Jesus knew that he was going to be there. And as he cast that devil out, and I can imagine as he just follows Christ around at this time, and everybody's standing around and they're amazed at what happened, because the Bible said, and they were afraid. You know, the world is really afraid of us. That's why they want to do away with us. They don't understand us. They don't understand why you're sitting here this morning. They don't understand why we sung about what we sung about in the choir. He wrote my name. They ain't got a clue what that song's about. They don't understand that. A heaven's penman wrote my name down one night, one day. I mean, that God wrote it down. I mean, as we sung, what a day that'll be. Hey, the world is afraid of dying today. For the Christian, it's just what a day that'll be. We get over to the other side. What amazing. Most of the time I do not watch funerals that are on the internet. But I watched the funeral of an 8-year-old little boy the other day. And as the preacher stood up, and the house was full. And as that casket laid off in the front out here, and his daddy... This little boy that died, his daddy's an evangelist. And so he travels and preaches. And as I watched that preacher when he stood up to come up to the pulpit and open the service, he just began to talk about, reckon what that little boy saw when he come into heaven. Talked about how that he just felt right at home. And how that, boy, there's a big crowd at church today. Imagine, you remember what Enoch said over there in Genesis? You know, he said that he saw the Lord coming with 10,000s upon thousands of his saints. Imagine how many people's in heaven right now. Revelation chapter 4 said we're going to praise him one day. What a meeting that's going to be when we all get there. You know why we're going to have a time when we get there? Because it was him that died for us so that we could be made alive in him. John seen him as a lamb that had been slain, but yet he was living. Hey, there's a reason I'm excited today. It's because I'm alive in Christ Jesus the Lord. He said in John 10:10, thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He ain't talking about later, he's talking about now. And so this man who is full of the devil, who was dying or who was dead and didn't realize it, I has now met Jesus, and Jesus has changed him. Matter of fact, people standing out here looking at him. Can you imagine when we do get there to heaven? It will be home. This ain't home. I used to think this was home. This ain't home. I learned one day what the word sojourning meant. I looked it up. You want to know what a word means? Look it up. It means to just be passing through. Amen. We're just sojourning. You know, the Bible talked about in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it talked about Abraham and his children. They looked for a city whose builder and maker was God, and a city that had foundations under it. This ain't home. Let me get back to this. But this dead man is now a living man. I want you to notice something. His desires had changed, hadn't it? What do you mean his desires? I mean, he was crying and cutting himself over living in the tombs or in the wilderness. He was wearing no clothes. He was not in his right mind. And if you look in the book of Matthew, the Bible said that they were so fierce there in the tombs that no man could pass through. But now he's sitting clothed and in his right mind, and now he wants that to go be with Jesus who had saved him. Bible said that when he was come into the ship, he that had been, I love that, had been, not still, but had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. He wanted to be wherever Jesus was. I would say that in just a matter of minutes, he fell in love with the Lord Jesus Christ because he changed him from the old man that he was. You know, the older we are in our salvation, the more that we ought to just fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. The more that we read and we study and we grow in him, the more we should understand what he brought us out of and brought us to. And it ought to make us loving more. His desires had changed. Instead of desiring that to be over in the tombs and cutting himself and hollering day and night, and I bet he was a sight to see. But after you had seen this man all this time, and now all of a sudden, he's seated and clothed and in his right mind, I bet that's really a sight to see. I'm still always reminded when I read this story, I think about what Brother Jim White said one time about the man that got released out of the psychiatric ward. And he said he come over to our church. And he said, why they always come to our church, I don't know, but they did. And I'll never forget, he said he had on this shirt that was bright like a hippie shirt or something. He said he had on these breeches that looked like two barber poles running against each other. They striped when he'd walk, you know. And you got to hear that story, hear him tell it.
But that old boy got saved that morning. And said he had long hair, but said when he come back that night, he cut his hair off before he ever come back. He said there wasn't nobody told him to do that. He just done it. Amen. He said he still had on that wild shirt, but not them barber pole britches. Amen. And said when, and y'all know how this story goes. He said when the preacher was preaching on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that night, and said all of a sudden in the middle of that service, said he stands up. And said he had a crazed look in his eye. And he said, we didn't know what we were going to do. Said he didn't know if he was having an LSD flashback, didn't know what was going on, but said this man stands up and he's standing there and said finally even the preacher quit and looked at him. And said that man that was standing up that had got saved that morning that had come out of the psychiatric ward simply said, hooray for Jesus. He did not know what to say, but he knew that he needed to say something. Prior to him getting saved, he would have never done that. Prior to Legion meeting Christ, he would have never acted that way. Well, he made a difference in us, didn't he? He handles our fears and our cares and our worries if we'll give them to him. But Jesus has made him alive. His desires and his actions have changed. Notice here now that Jesus told him, he suffered him not to go with him, but he said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Boy, ain't you glad Jesus had compassion on you? But he said, I want you to go home and tell what I've done for you. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis. Now, this has all happened up in the Gadareans. If you get your Bible map out sometime, you'll find out. Go to the north side of Israel and get up there around the Sea of Galilee because that's where they were. And the Gadareans, if I remember right, is on the southeast side and that of the Sea of Galilee. And if you go just a little further southeast, you'll come to Decapolis. And so the Bible said he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. He began to tell what Jesus had done. You know what? You can tell when a man's alive because he'll be talking. Dead man can't talk. You put him in the casket, can't talk. Just can't do it. Dead man in the casket has no actions like a live man does. As a matter of fact, dead man in the casket will begin to deteriorate in that casket. And he'll return back to the earth that he came out of. But the living man has got something to say. The living man has got a place to go. He met the one who gave him life. Boy, didn't he get a different life? You know, when you got saved, you got a different life, didn't you? Amen. He got a different life. You know, 1 John chapter 3, he said, we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So we come to we see we had a dead man who needed to be alive, and now we've got a living man, and that's us. If you're saved, if you're not saved, you're not living. You just need to get saved. Come know Christ. He's a life giver. Go over and look at little John. Let me read that real quick, and then we're going to move on. I do realize what time it is. 1 John chapter 5, I quoted a little bit of this morning. He said in verse 11, this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So you do not have life without Christ. He is the life giver. These things have I written. You know, the most important things that you can ever know is that you have Christ in your heart, that you're alive in him.
These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Life's in Him. So when you got saved, you became alive. But then number three, you become a living man that needs to die again. Ain't that a mess? We were dead people that need to be alive, but after we become alive, then we need to be dead again. Galatians put it like this. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, by the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I think we all know what it means to crucify something. That means to kill it, don't it? What did Jesus tell His disciples over there in Luke chapter 29? If any man would be His disciples, He said, let him what come after me? Let him deny himself, come after me, and take up his cross daily and follow me. That was before Christ was crucified, but them disciples knew what crucifixion was all about. They'd seen the Roman government do that. The dead man who's never been to Christ is all about this world, but the living man who wants to die wants nothing to do with this world. We want to die to sin, but not in sin. Romans 6, Paul put it more like this. He said, God forbid. He said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You know what that means? You know, what did he do? What did this man do? He was made alive in Christ. And now things are different. They've changed. And you know where he's taking his direction from? From Christ. He's died out to that old man that was dead before. Romans 6, if you come on down in verse 6, he said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So if we're dead in him, then we will not be alive to this world, but alive to him. In the book of Colossians chapter 3, he said this, if you then be risen with Christ, in other words, if you're alive with him, seek those things which are above, heavenly things. People say sometimes, they say, well, I'm so heavenly minded, I'm no earthly good. They probably are. I wouldn't say they're so heavenly minded, they just ain't no earthly good sometimes. But I do think that we need to be dwelling on heavenly things. Trying to live in a heavenly way after a heavenly matter. He said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the world, or things on the earth. And here it is, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So when we got saved, we died out to sin, made alive in Christ, but yet we die and are hid in Him. And then it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. We cannot live for Christ and this world at the same time. No man can serve two masters. He'll either hate one and love the other, cleave to one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's one or the other. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul put it like this, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. We're dying so that we can live in Him. Ain't that, you know, you realize that's really what mortification is talking about. The word mortify, to make something dead while another part lives. Daddy had a maple tree a couple years ago.
And it was a maple tree that I remember very well. I used to climb that tree when I was a kid. And he had had some, him and Mama had some oak trees up there, that big old monster oak trees up and around the house. And I remember them trees. It's amazing what you remember when you're a kid. And one of them, and my mom and dad's got a big old front yard, and that front yard is nothing but a hill on both sides. You know, it's like this. And the one that's down in there, boy, you're talking about sledding when we was kids. Man, just can't get no snow anymore, Sister Kathy. But one of them big old oak trees kind of stood up there, just a little piece off the driveway, and that daddy took me an old swing and put down there, you know, that would swing way out over that opening of that yard, you know. And you look at these oak tree here and this oak tree here, and they died, and he ended up having to cut them down. And so a few years later, after they died, he had a maple tree up there in the front yard that I remember as a kid, the front porch swing or the swing used to sit out there right under that maple tree. And that thing began just a few years ago, it began to die. They was in the middle of the summer. They was leaves turning brown in this tree, but it wasn't like half of it was dead or part of it. They were just turning brown everywhere, all through this tree. And I said, Daddy, there's something wrong with your tree. And I know he was worried about losing that tree. And he got up there and he cut out all the dead parts on that tree. And that tree come back out the next year and lived just as pretty could be. And then he had a man come in the fall and shape it up and trimmed it down, and it come back again, and it's been good ever since. You know what I believe helped that tree more than anything? He cut the dead parts out of it. You know what helps mine in your life most of the time? We just cut the dead parts out of it. You kill the parts that need to be dead and cut them out and get rid of them. Gotta ever be dying, don't we? While we're still living in Christ Jesus. Am I making sense this morning? I hope so. We okay? I hope so. So here he is. He's went and he's serving the Lord now. He's wanting to serve Him. He is seeking those things which are above. And he's died out to his old man. How many of us have died out to the old man? You know, that's why Paul talks about in the book of Ephesians and Colossians both, that you put off the old man and that you put on the new man. As I've told you 1,000 times over the years, I used to struggle with them passages of Scripture because of what 2 Corinthians 5 said. Therefore, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Christ is what changes us on the inside. But because we've been changed on the inside, then that's what's going to allow us to change us on the outside. We put off the old man, the old dying man. We put him off and put on that new man that's alive. And then we're ever dying in Christ, but yet living in Him at the same time. Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's get us a verse of invitation, if we would, Jacob, if you'd come, Brother Marvin, to the piano. The Bible talked about in the book of the Revelation, chapter 3, he said, unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. There's some people that's got a living. They act like they're living, but truly they are dead. They've never been to Christ. Isaiah 4 talks about in that day 7 women shall take hold of 1 man, saying, let us eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, except to be called by thy name to take away our reproach. That's what some people want. But a dead man cannot act like a living man for long. It shows up. Let me ask you something this morning. Have you ever been saved? Have you ever come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, having trusted Him? If you've not, today's your day to come and get saved. Jesus wants to save you. But when you got made alive in Christ, there was a change that took place in us. But then when that change took place, it was just to turn around and die in Christ so that we could live in Him. I don't want anything this world's got. Don't want to be part of this world, only to tell them that Jesus loves them and will save them. Don't be living to this world, but be living to Him and in Him this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray You'll help during this invitation time. You know the needs that's in this house. There may be somebody that needs to come and get saved, man, woman, boy, or girl. I pray they trust You today. But Lord, there just may be somebody here that's not sold out. They've not died in that to this world. They're saved, but they've just not died to this world. And that's what they need to do. Face somebody that's lost, save them. Need help, pray they find it in this invitation. For these things in Jesus' name. Amen.